Amen. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. In keeping with kind of the theme God's given me for Rhema Bible Church this year, for me personally, for my time in the pulpit, I'm going to do my best. Last time I ministered, I spoke on God equips those he calls. He equips us. Whatever he's called us to do, he's equipped us, given us that grace that is needed, praise the Lord, to fulfill what he's called us to do. And we looked at that last time. Here in Colossians chapter 1, tonight I want to talk about we are the body of Christ. If you want to title this tonight, we are the body of Christ. And you'll see how it fits in with what we have talked about. And well, these aren't new things. We just want to put ourselves in remembrance. You know, Mrs. Hagin said that this is the year of getting involved. Amen? Getting involved. And you understand when you have a part of your body that's not active, that's not involved, then it hinders the rest of the body. Have you found that out? And have you ever had, you know, have you ever had your foot or leg go to sleep? Right? And you tried to walk and you're like, where is that? It's down there somewhere. I'm, you know, well, we don't need anybody in the body of Christ to sleep in these days. Glory to God. We need all the body functioning together. So we want to look at this tonight and see the import of that for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 24. And I realize we're kind of jumping in the middle of what he's talking about here, but this will be our starting place. It says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now notice here, we can realize this, that Paul is saying here by the Spirit of God that what he's gone through, what he's doing in ministry, he's doing it for the body's sake. Who is that body? The church. All right. Now obviously here, he's talking about the church universal, the body of Christ. It's his body. All right. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. That kind of got us started. Now we want to look at some of these other, what the Word of God has to say in some other places concerning this. And rather than jump right into this, I want to go ahead and start in verse 17 as we can see the place that the reference to the body of Christ here takes in Paul's prayer for us. And I am thoroughly convinced, every member of the body of Christ, every person who's a born-again child of God, who's called on Jesus, who's called on the name of the Lord, and you'll be saved. Every person in the body of Christ should know their function and their part of the body. And that's one of the reasons this prayer is in the Word of God, is to help us here. So verse 17, he says that the eyes of your that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, wisdom, revelation. Pastor Hagin talked this morning about vision for the future, and the Holy Ghost will show us things to come. We can be led by the Spirit of God, every person. He mentioned this morning how the greatest part of the body of Christ called to the ministry is in the helps ministry. The greatest part of Rhema, if you happen to be. Now listen, let me tell you something. You don't have to be a Rhema graduate to be a member of the ministry of the body of Christ. You don't have to be a Rhema graduate to be a member of Rhema Bible Church. You don't have to be a Rhema graduate to be involved at Rhema Bible Church, all right? Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you get the, and we can't help but talk about Rhema Bible Training because, I mean, that's part of what God's doing here. And you understand that. But if you're part, you know, if you're here from Broken Arrow or Tulsa area and you come here, this is your church, and God hasn't led you to go to Rhema Bible Training College, God bless you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Amen? Really, I mean, there's no reason, don't get upset about it. You know, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Amen? But would be a problem for you to sit there and say, well, I can't do anything because I'm not a graduate of Rhema Bible Training College. Amen? Well, you're part of the body of Christ, aren't you? We'll look at that. We'll look at something similar to that, what's said in 1 Corinthians later on here. But he prays that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know, not guess, but know what is the hope of his calling. His calling on our life. What does God expect? The confident expectation and anticipation with joy of what he has called us and summoned us to do. And that's what we talked about last time. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Now look here at verse 22 and 23. And has put all under his feet and gave him to be the head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now we know that Jesus came and had a natural body on this earth, right? And we know that when he was resurrected, he had a resurrected body. Isn't that right? But here, you know, Jesus also has a spiritual body. And that is the church. Now he says he gave him to be the head, over all to the church. How many of you, when you came tonight, you brought your head with you? Right? It came with the rest of the body. Thank God you just didn't roll in here, Roll in here, just your head showed up. No, the head and the body are connected to one another. And he says here that this body, which is the church, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You're not a full body with just a head. And so Jesus, in the sense of what's going on today in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of Christ universal, is not fulfilled without you. Amen? You think about it. Now, would there be any limitation for God that the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, instantly you were in his presence, you were gone from this earth? Would God be limited? Could he do that? He could do that, except he chose to leave us here. Why? Because there's others that need to hear the message. Right? There's others that need to be ministered to, and that's why we're still here. You think about it. Paul said to depart and be with the Lord is far better. There's really no reason. I mean, as beautiful as this earth can be, all right, as wonderful as relationships on this earth can be, compared to heaven, they're not. You understand? He said it's far better. He didn't say better. He had to add far to it. Okay? I mean, that means it exceeds in better. Exceedingly better, if that's really not very good English, but all right. So he leaves us here. He says, we are the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now I love this book of Ephesians, and because we spend and it's great. We do need to spend a lot of time in these first three chapters talking about our positional truth and what Christ has done in and for us, who we are in him, and all those things. But then the last three chapters, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, are I like to call it the now what. So you're sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Now what? So you are accepted in the beloved. Now what? So you're adopted into the family. Now what? You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now what? And so let's go over to chapter 4 and let's see now what. All right? And again, we're focusing on, as we look through this, so many things we could look at here, but we're focusing on this idea of the body, all right? The body of Christ. He's the head, we are the body. Now, verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or beg of you, implore you, that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, the King James says. Actually, vocation is the word calling. And a lot of different translations say it that way. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I find it interesting that the first key that he gives us to walking worthy of the calling is humility. Humility. You just think about it. If we in the body of Christ would take our place in humility, we quit fighting with one another. We'll get to that. All right. That went over real well. Let's keep reading here. Endeavoring. No, he says, look at that. Forbearing one another in love. I like one modern translation says, putting up with one another. Don't look at your wife, husbands, when we say that. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice that unity, unity, unity. That's a big thing in these days. This body, this, thank you, Lord. This body has to become one. Jesus prayed that we would be one in John 17. And his prayer is going to be answered. He's going to present, he's coming back for a glorious church, a body without spot or wrinkle. And that means empty of strife. Now, it's interesting, you know, I don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is. It's the devil's urging, and we've got to learn not to yield to those things. But, you know, us Christians, we like to fight about everything. You got one person over here, you know, they're a Christian. They praise the Lord. I mean, they're going to heaven. You got another person over here, they're a Christian. They praise the Lord. All right, and their beliefs on things are, it's not necessarily biblical things, but on social issues and economic issues and political, it's totally opposite, yet they're in the same body. Okay? Now see, I realize the solution to all those issues is if you just all agree with me, then it'll all be over with, see? Because it's obvious I'm right about everything. And if you don't agree with me, well, get saved. See, but that's how we act towards one another, see? But he's talking about keeping this, endeavoring, putting effort into it. Verse 4, why? There is one body. Only one body. Now, we know we've divided ourselves up into many different congregations, many different local bodies. We like to call, well, there's many local bodies. But, you know, I'm not so sure God is that concerned about our local bodies as he is the body of Christ. You know what I'm saying? Now, obviously, just as the body has different functions, different parts of my body. You know, your hand has a different function than your spleen. But you need them both, right? Well, you know, God has equipped churches that way. You've got pastors, same calling to pastor, but their calling is different. They're going to lead a group of people who are hands people, for instance. The people who are going to be attracted to that church, that's because that's their gifting, that's their calling, and that's fine. Not that we can't minister to everybody, you understand. But, you know, we need to allow one another that ability to be who we are. But universally, we are one body in Christ. You know. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't know why, I just have this feeling that when you get to heaven, that Christian that you just really didn't like is going to be your next door mansion neighbor. Hey, man, wouldn't that be just like God? All right, let's keep reading. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And I want to read these things to get somewhere. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but they also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now he's talking about Jesus here. All right. Then, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now notice here, the job of the apostle and prophet and evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, you could say the pulpit ministry, if you will. Their job is through the preaching of the word of God. Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Every time, those of you who are called to pulpit ministry, your job is to feed those whoever's there listening to you. That's why we have to do our best to stay with the word of God, because man should not live by bread alone, but by every rhema, the word there is rhema, of the word, or every word of God that comes from the mouth of God, or the whatever God says. You see, I can't feed you with my opinion. I can only feed you with the word. Okay? And so doing our best to stay there. Then notice what happens. That equips us for the work of the ministry, which is building up the body of Christ. They say, well, I thought the work of our ministry was to add to. Well, yep. If you added to the body, would you be building it up? That's surely part of it. You see, all that has to do. Now, how long? He says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a fully grown, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We have to realize that there's people out there that are trying to deceive. And because it says by their cunning craftiness, in other words, they're doing it on purpose, unfortunately. There are people that are doing that, you know. And so we have to be, well, how do we solve that? We have to know what the word says about it. Right? Verse 15, now here we go. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How many of you know that your body grows up? And he says that's what's going to happen. As we speak the truth, the word of God, and the truth of God's word, we're going to grow up into him in love. Grow up into him, all right? Which is the head, even Christ. The head of what? The body. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, that's talking about the church here, fitly joined together and compacted, now notice this, by that which every joint supplies. So every joint of the body has a supply to bring, has a function, every part of the body. Even those parts we can't see, right? Now, you know, you realize that if you see certain parts of your body, something's gone wrong. Actually, if anybody sees, you know, even if you have to go to the hospital and the doctor, they're going to open you up and see parts of the body that if the only reason they do that is because something's gone wrong. Right. So he says here, you know, but how many of you know those things are important? Even if it can't be seen, he says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So every joint has a supply. Every part has a measure to bring. Every part of our body. Now, again, you know, we talked about the spleen. You know, you think, well, I don't really. But, you know, without your spleen, you're going to have issues in your body. Okay? Without certain parts. Because the body was made and designed by God to operate a certain way. Praise the Lord. And so every part needs to function. Well, the body of Christ is the same way. Now let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. Again, these things aren't necessarily new, but that's not, you know. Jesus didn't say go into all the world and preach something new. Amen. And you know, I'm on Pastor Hagin's staff. If there's any new thing to be preached, we'll let him preach the new stuff. You know, I'm seriously. That'll help some of you that find yourself in supportive roles. Be a support. Hallelujah. That was good preaching, Tad. Keep going. Okay. Romans 12, verse number 4 and 5. Let's look at that. For as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office. Some translations here say function. Again, that's what we're talking about. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You know, we may not be able to exactly figure out. Now, I don't know. I had anatomy class in college. Because I was taking some sports medicine stuff and different things of that. So we had anatomy and different things of that sort. But I don't have enough knowledge to tell you just exactly. I can't tell you how that little toe is connected to the rest of the body. But when you bump it against something, you find out. right? You know what I'm saying? If you ever catch it on the end of, all right, you found. But you know, there is a system of nerves and everything else that's connected there. It's connected somehow. I can't exactly tell you how, all right? But it's connected. And I can't exactly tell you how, but every one of us is connected. Because we're in the body of Christ. Every part of us. Okay? Every part. And think about it now. Not just here in, you know, in Broken Arrow, Tulsa County, Oklahoma. All right? The Pastor Joe's church up in Michigan. Wherever you're from back home, if you left, came in, wherever, we're all connected. In Brazil. All over, you know. Candy's over in Ethiopia teaching at Bible school over there in Ethiopia. They're all part of the same body. There is no other body of Christ. There's only one body. And we are members, in particular, that one body. We're connected somehow. And so, for us, I'm convinced for us to do the work that we have to do in these last days, I believe there's a great move of God coming, yes. But let it begin at the house of God first. We've got to get in love with one another. I remember, is it John 13 where Jesus said, you know, as I have a new commandment I've given to you, as I have loved one another, as I have loved you, by this. What about verse 35 and 30, or 34 and 35? I think 35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, by how you have loved one for another. I mean, if we just start loving one another, it's the greatest evangelistic tool there ever was. He said, all men will know you're my disciples. Loving one another. Amen? Well, I don't have a whole lot of influence over someone else, but I can start where I am here. I can start by loving you. You can start by loving me. You see? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 then, and we'll wind this up. It's funny, you know, people get excited about stuff like the Super Bowl. I hadn't seen a Super Bowl until 2001. What year did the... Was it when the Rams, they won one and then they lost the next one. It was early on there, over there. I don't know. But we had Super Bowl, you know, with the NRC and watched. That's the first Super Bowl I'd seen, and I haven't seen one since we quit doing that. So, you know, you had to bring it up. How many, any of you taping it, DVR? Let me see your hands. You want to know the score? Let's see. No, I won't do that. I can tell you this, halftime show, zero. I'll just say that. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one, how many bodies are there? Has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He's not divided. You know, there's no Baptist body of Christ. There's no Pentecostal body of Christ. There's no, you know, Greek Orthodox body of Christ. There's no, you know, whatever. We're all one body. It's just one, okay? And I know I'm making that point over and over again, but I'm convinced that we're going to need to get there, okay? Let's keep going. For by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? He said. If the whole was hearing, how would you smell? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. You see, you can't be part of the body of Christ and say, well, because I'm not up there preaching Sunday morning, I don't need to do anything. I don't have to participate. I don't have to supply. I don't have to bring my measure. I don't have to do anything because I'm not the pastor, so. You see that? That's what he's saying here. He said, we can't say that. God, now, you know, I used to hear Brother Hagin say this all the time. You know, if God hasn't called you to preach, thank God for it. But if he has, thank God for it. Whatever it is, God has set you in the church as it has pleased him. Last time we looked at where he set you, he gifted and equipped you. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, I have never, ever met someone, because, you know, there's this kind of this thing I hear, well, you know, God's going to make you do stuff that you really don't want to do. And I have never met anybody who was obeying God, listen to me now, and was in the right, that disliked what they were doing. I don't believe God does that. Now, you may have to do some things you're not exactly thrilled about sometimes, you know. Sometimes you have a job where, you know, I mean, I've got the type of job that when you're the dean of a school, you have rules and regulations. There are sometimes I have to sit across the desk somebody and say, you're no longer going to be a student here. I don't like that. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't like to have to do that, but I know whenever I go into those situations, I always say, Father, I thank you for the grace of God to do what you've called me to do today. You see. But enjoying the whole thing? Oh, yeah, God's going to place you. He's placed you in the body of Christ where it pleased him, but I'm going to guarantee you get there, it'll please you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, well, I don't want to, well, if I start serving God, he'll make me go places I don't want to go. Don't be concerned about it. Okay. All right. He says, and if they were all one member, where would be the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now let's stop there for just a moment. It doesn't matter what the eye's opinion is about the hand. And it doesn't matter what the head's opinion is about the feet in the sense of a body. He says, he's not going to say, you can't say, I have no need of you. Now, I have the ability, let me say it this way, as part of the body of Christ, same Jordan and I here, we're in the same body of Christ, okay? I have the ability to form an opinion about Jordan, but I do not have the right. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. See, that's an opinion. You get what I'm coming from there? That's an opinion. And we've become experts at opinions about one another, mostly based on what we've seen. But God doesn't look at that. Did the prophet Samuel have an opinion about who would be the next king? I mean, that Jesse brought, I mean, he brought the finest in there. Oh, surely this is God's anointed. He said, don't look at that. God said, I don't look at what you look at. I look at the heart on the inside. You see? So if I'm part of the same body, me and Curtis here, I don't have the right to have an opinion about him. We're in the same body. And my opinion will cause my opinion about him, anything other than what the Word of God says about him, but that's not an opinion, that's the truth. Anything else is going to hinder this body. Now see, you don't want your hip to get out of relationship with the rest of your body. Right? Well, I've just decided I don't need the rest of the body. And I don't want to work. I've been working hard for this body. I'm just going to quit. How many of you realize that's going to affect the rest of the body? Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. What Brother Bill said, I ought to get a better amen than that. But now let's keep reading. Look at verse 22. No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our unlovely parts, he says uncomely, our unlovely parts have more abundant comeliness. That's why, thank God, we got skin that covers up, you know. That's what he's talking about, when the inside part there. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body. How much? None. Not even a crack. You see, nothing. That there be no. Now, what happens is, if I'm not, remember what Paul said in Ephesians 4, if I'm going to fulfill, walk worthy of the calling that I'm called with, then I have to come in humility. When I'm humble, then, I don't look at your part of the body and get jealous of it and covet that, all right? Because I realize God has tempered the body together and placed us each as it pleased him, that there would be no division in the body. But that the members, listen to this, should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Go back to the little toe example. Right? I mean, you know, if you can still fall down on the ground and reach your toe, that's another story. But if you can still do that, how many, you know, the whole body wants to try to help the toe. Is that right? You become more flexible at that moment than you've been for a long time to get a hold of that toe. Right? So if one suffers, we all suffer. If one member's honored, all the members rejoice with it. How many of us? Just the rest of the hand, you know, because it really benefits. No, all of us rejoice. Well, they don't ever, you know. I was thinking about this morning. Now, see, when you listen to Pastor, he was telling all these stories. He doesn't know enough probably about me to tell all my stories. But I'm sitting there, he talked about Brother Bill. He talked about Roger. He talked about Doug Jones. I'm thinking, you know, if you're careful, you're like, well, what about me? Everything I've gone through has brought me to the place where I am right now, just like you're saying. What about it? You know that's true. I used to sit, you know, you sit in the, finally Brother Hagin started saying stuff, but you'd be in meetings and he'd start going around ministering people and he'd say, now y'all going to have to stop. Stop that. He said, you all want me to come to you. And he said, now I can't hear what the Spirit of God's saying. And he'd have to walk away. He'd call someone and say, minister to him. And people say, what about me? Oh, I hope he says something to me. Well, pull me. Oh, say something. Maybe you didn't want him to say some things. I remember coming back to homecoming. We used to have homecoming in October, right after I graduated. And I remember coming back and sitting out there and Brother Hagin be ministering, you know, and the one time you could get him to address all the alumni. That's why they moved it to Winter Bible Seminar. So everybody said, we need to hear Brother Hagin speak more. He didn't want to speak more. He's speaking enough. All right? So they moved it to Winter Bible Seminar so you could hear Brother Hagin minister at that time. But I remember sitting there and 2-3 years in a row. Well, there's some of you out here that won't be with us next year, lest you repent. You're like, and so the joke got to be everybody, before you call your friends, have you repented before you came? You got everything right with God? Maybe you didn't want Brother Hagin to call you out. You didn't want the prophet to call you out. Amen? But see, it's not a competition. We rejoice. We honor. When one's honored, we rejoice with them. Look at verse 27. Now, when? Everybody say now. Yeah. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. But we're not fragmented. So, in this time that our leadership said, let's get involved. Why should we get involved? Because we're part of one another. And you have a supply, I have a supply, you have a measure, I have a measure. It's time to get involved and let's do this and realize the strength. Now, when that happens, when your body is healthy, okay, when your body's healthy, then you're going to be able to do whatever God has placed in front of you. But when the body of Christ, not only on the local church level, but universal is, What's going to happen? This gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. There's a lot of folks, I think, wishing the end would come. Oh, Lord, just come back. Come back quickly, Jesus. Now, I've never heard a missionary say that. Because they're out there. They know there's a lot of people need to hear. I've never ever heard a missionary. In fact, I heard that said in front of a missionary one time, and they preached a real good sermon about how that's, don't say that. Now, we realize the Apostle John said, come quickly, Lord. But you realize all that's got to come to pass first. But Ephesians 5, we didn't even get, it's going to be a healthy body. It's going to be a glorious body without spot or wrinkle. And I think the spotted wrinkles there are not some of the things that we think they are. We tend to look at things. Now, I'm not, obviously, we don't need to, you know, sins of the flesh, yeah. But what about those sins of strife? That type of thing. What about those things? Amen. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that you've placed us in the body of Christ. We are one body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Father, tonight. We give you praise for your word. Father, I ask that you'd cause this word to rise up within us, live big within us. Holy Spirit, bring things to our remembrance. When we are in situations, that we would walk according to your word. Thank you, Father, for placing each of us in the body as it has pleased you. Let us operate with the gifts and callings that you've given each one of us. May we do the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Our prayer team will go ahead and come on down. Praise the Lord. Brother Bill, did we have a first-time visitor? I didn't think we had anybody tonight. That's all right. Glad you were here. Tell your neighbor, glad you were here tonight. Amen. It's good to see everybody. All right. If you need prayer tonight for anything, ladies are on my right, your left. Ladies, come down and talk to the ladies. The guys over here on my left and your right. Guys, come talk with the guys. They're going to pray with you according to the word of God. Amen? Because that's what gets results. How many of you know? 1 John chapter 5 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. Glory to God. Praying with confidence. It's a wonderful thing. Thank God for his word. All right. God bless you. See you Wednesday night. Hour of power. Pastor Hagin will be here, so come on out for service that night. Shake hands with somebody before you leave. Let them know you love them. In Jesus' name.